Hallelujah. What a Savior. Proverbs chapter 8, although we need to read chapter 7 again, because this is a long poem and it goes together. And you'll appreciate chapter 8 better if you see what Solomon is doing here and the contrast between two women. So we'll read both chapters this evening. Proverbs 7, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now she's without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face she said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his own liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. when He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was with Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Fear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. There's two things you need to remember about Proverbs chapter 8 to feel something of its splendor. The first one is relatively simple, and that is, there is another woman. Now, normally speaking, when we talk about the other woman, that's a bad thing. But when we talk about, in the book of Proverbs, the other woman, that's a good thing. We saw last week the strange woman, and here we have a very clear contrast with another woman called wisdom. Feminized, called she. And there's a real difference between these two women, isn't there? You got a strange woman, she's loud, she's boisterous, she's lurking in the street corner, she's prowling, she wants pleasure, she offers you everything, but she's laid her bed in hell. Her house is a promised street of pleasure, but if you go down that way, then you're going to find death. She's very much like the world, is she not? You can go down all the world's streets of pleasure. You can go down all the things that everyone says is important, and what will you find at the end? A legion of demons that will torment you in your last hours and haunt your soul for all eternity. But not the other woman. This other woman, she's very public. This other woman is very much out in the open. If you kiss her lips, you'll live forever. If you embrace her bosom, it's a healthy thing. It's a safe thing. It's a pure thing. This woman doesn't just say, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. This woman says, I'm going to give you today and I'm going to give you tomorrow. I'm going to give you life today, and I'm going to give you an eternity of life that the only things I can begin to compare it to are things that are tangible, like silver and gold and rubies, but even they fall far short of how excellent and wonderful I am. That's the first thing. And remember, like we said last week, God always gives us an option to sin. Satan likes to back us into a corner, and our flesh likes to make excuses and say, oh no, I have to sin here. If I don't sin, I won't have pleasure. God says, there's another woman. There's another beauty out there. Choose her. Who is she? Now, she is obviously a clever literary device. Okay, it's meant to, and I'll explain perhaps why as we go this evening. But she is a lot more than just wisdom looked at as a woman. She is He. She is the Lord Jesus Christ. As we'll see as we go out this evening, this wisdom has what? This wisdom is not just an attribute of God. This wisdom has a personal existence. Attributes don't cry. They don't tell you to embrace them. Plus, in verse 14, you'll see that this woman has the attribute of wisdom. So if this is only God's wisdom, then you've got wisdom having the attribute of wisdom. No. This wisdom has divine characteristics. It's eternal. This wisdom was operative with God in the creation of the world, very much like John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. This wisdom, our Lord Jesus, is, I think it's definitive by what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:24. You remember what he said? He says, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Everything this woman gives us here, there's only one person who can give it to us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why feminine? Well, it's obviously not to support the gender silliness that's going on in the broader church, so we can just dismiss that and not say anything else about it. What's this supposed to tell us? Being safe from the strange woman and living a godly life is more than just, well, I've got my principles down. Here's my precepts. Here's my grid of interpretation. Here's my worldview. I'm safe. Wisdom is a person. And I think it is made feminine here, not because Jesus is feminine in one sense, in a gender sense, but to remind us we're supposed to kiss Him. We're supposed to be warmly drawn to Him, like we would the purest wife, like we feel like our dear sisters, like we feel about the church when she begins to be what she's supposed to be, like we saw this morning in terms of love and tenderness and mercy. In other words, we're supposed to run and jump into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think about it for a minute, we all need to hear this, male or female. Godly wisdom does not emasculate. But there is one thing we need to remember about our warfare on earth. It's very personal. And at the end of it is not waiting so much a military parade as a wedding. And the tender look of our Savior and His love for us and His well done. So everything we read of wisdom tonight, I'm not going to have time to show how all of these things might be fulfilled in the life of our Lord. Just remember, everything wisdom promises, Jesus gives us. And we're supposed to be committed to Him and love Him and cling to Him. Now, I'm going to cover the whole chapter tonight. It's pretty self-explanatory. But I do want to hit three or four highlights breaking up the chapter. And there's an obvious break in verses 1 through 5. And we have this woman crying out. Notice she cries out everywhere. Five places are mentioned in verses 1, 2, and 3. Why is this? Because we need wisdom everywhere. Everywhere. Now, I know in the modern age, and we heard this during a couple of presidents ago's administration, now there's a man's private life and there's a man's public life. And, you know, we kind of separate reality into, well, here's where I need God, and I don't need God over here. Science is just being destroyed because of this distinction. But so's political ethics. So's entertainment. So are the lives of many believers who assume, no, there's quiet places, there's secret places over here. I don't need God. Wisdom says you need God everywhere. Wisdom says there's no decision you have to make. There's no relationship you have where you do not need to kiss this woman. Notice in verse 4, she calls out to men. Her voice is to the sons of man. This doesn't exclude woman. Remember, women, you were taken out of man. Your destiny is the same as ours. Your destiny is wrapped up with ours. And so here, the wisdom is calling out to everyone. Verse 5, she says to the simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Now, this isn't a very nice thing to say, you fools. Okay. But understand, unless we run and jump into the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're foolish. And you can have areas of your life where perhaps you're wise. Maybe for you it's your finances, or maybe it's your parenting, or maybe it's the way you relate to people in the workplace. Everywhere you are supposed to hear wisdom's call, because the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ has now gone into all the earth. Remember what He did when He ascended up on high? He proclaimed with a loud voice His victory over the whole world. In verses 6, through 11, verses 6 through 11, we have something that's clearly intended to be a contrast with the strange woman. And the heading here, verse 6, here, for I will speak of excellent things. What did the strange woman speak of? Deadly things, secret things, things that tantalize, things that tickle. The deadly woman said, there's no consequences, don't think about tomorrow, have your heart's desire, follow me. Live for pleasure. But what does wisdom say? Notice she says, the opening of my lips will be right things. Wisdom always tells us the truth. Isn't this our Lord Jesus? We can bring Him in anywhere in this chapter, but I'll bring Him in here. No one ever spake like He did. John chapter 7. He spoke right things. He told the truth about God, about man. He didn't embrace a lie. He wouldn't let us believe a lie about ourselves. And notice wisdom is so committed to speaking right things. Verse 7, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. You see, all words that do not echo God's words, at least echo them, are an abomination. I know one of our favorite radio personalities in Atlanta, and this is not going to be nice to say, perhaps, certainly not polite, is Kirk Mellish. Because you know, when the weather is hellish, you turn to Mellish. If you listen to WSB, the words he says are an abomination. Okay, why? Because he doesn't give glory to God. You might say he can't do that on the radio. Then he should find another venue, if he's a Christian, where he can. See, these abominable words that foolish men speak are not just limited to those who curse God. It's all of the words that do not recognize His words and our need to be taught by Him, but not so with wisdom. All the words of her mouth, verse 8, are righteousness. There's nothing crooked in them. That's what the word in King James means, froward. There's nothing crooked. What about our lips? You know, you can tell a lot about whether you're kissing wisdom as to what comes out of your mouth. Little children, what do you say? When someone says something ugly to you, do you just say right back something just as ugly? Well, you be mean. You've been mean to me, I'm going to be mean to you. You see, not if we kiss wisdom and hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing crooked. Notice they're plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. Take modern economics. You don't believe me, do you? Or I hope you do, that we need wisdom everywhere. The Bible's message for economics is pretty simple. Hard currency. Save. Don't get into unnecessary debt. Don't think you can forestall the day of judgment by manipulating currencies and economies, and that central planning and the Tower of Babel is going to preserve an economic system. It's pretty simple. Notice when it comes down to the modern theories of economics, you have to have a PhD to follow the graphs and the charts and the speculation. Why is that? Because the moment you turn away from wisdom in economics, the moment it becomes a dark, slippery path. And it's not understandable. And that's just one area. Everywhere wisdom speaks, her paths are plain. Her paths are plain. She says in verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that you may be desired are not to be compared to it. It is interesting that in comparing and talking about wisdom, Solomon chooses the most concrete, precious things that we would perhaps know of on earth. Gold, silver, precious stones. See, we even have a hard time here in our culture, don't we? Because our standards of valuation are so wispy. Paper money, popularity, fame, sensuality, all of these things perish with the use. They're shadowy. They don't last. They can't satisfy. But Solomon says, even with respect to the most valuable things on earth, this wisdom is so much more valuable than they are. Now, we need encouragement, motivation to seek this wisdom. So in verses 12 through 21, he gives us several motivations here. To kiss wisdom, to hold on to the Word of God, to love God's Word, to plug our ears and cut off our arms and pluck out our eyes from the sins and the lust of the world so that we might give ourselves to God's wisdom. He says in verse 12, prudence. This wisdom dwells with prudence. This reminds me of Isaiah 11:2. Remember what the prophet there said of the Lord Jesus? The spirit of counsel and of might and of wisdom and of the fear of the Lord will rest upon me. Prudence. What is prudence? Prudence is living in such a way in the present that your future will be a blessing rather than a curse. And the only way to have that kind of life is to kiss the Lord Jesus and to live by every word that has come out of His mouth, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I mean, that's kind of an obscure phrase here. And it basically means to be able to understand what's real in life. To be able to distinguish what's fleeting from what's permanent. Can our culture do this? Are most Christians able to do this? To distinguish what is really satisfying and what is really pleasure from what only has the appearance of pleasure. What is really a mockery and an imitation of the real pleasure that God offers us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice here we come to verse 13, which is a similar verse to one we already encountered. I believe, in chapter 3 and again in chapter 6. If we're kissing wisdom, what are we going to do? We're going to hate evil. Like our Lord Jesus. Remember, the spirit of the fear of the Lord will rest upon Him. Why does the fear of the Lord hate pride and arrogancy? Because pride and arrogancy want to throw off authority. Pride says, I'm sufficient unto myself. Arrogance says, don't tell me that I'm prideful. Don't tell me that I'm not sufficient for myself. And these things throw off authority. They don't want to listen to wisdom. I am sufficient. I don't need a preacher. I don't need a parent. I don't need anybody. But see, when we kiss wisdom, we're done with that. We're humbled. We realize I need to be taught. I need to be led. I need to be protected from the evil way, from the crooked mouth. And the Lord Jesus, this is Him. This is the path you get to walk in if you kiss the Lord Jesus. He says, counsel is mine. You know that if you walk with Jesus, you don't need a GPS. Now, I don't want to be make too much of a modern application here, but think about it for just a second. We chart out our path, our monetary path, our family path, our vocational path, our educational path, and all those things are necessary. We have responsibilities in each of these areas, and it would be foolish not to. But behind all this, we have to remember something. When we walk with the Lord Jesus, and when we're enfolded in His caresses, and when we listen to His wisdom, we need to remember who's speaking. This is the eternal Lord. This is eternal wisdom. And He has all counsel. He understands everything that is going on in your life. He knows what you need to go through today to make you what He wants you to be tomorrow. And this is the blessing of wisdom and of walking with the Lord Jesus. He says, I am understanding. I am. I tell the truth. I understand all things. I've searched out all the deep places of God. I know all of His secrets because I am God. I'm the eternal Son, and I'm yours. Isn't this so important why we see the she here? Wisdom is not this, you know, like Wizard of Oz. You know, there's a wizard back there pushing buttons, and if we could just kind of pull back the curtain for a minute, we would be unimpressed. No. This is no manipulation. This is no scam. Christ is the eternal Son of God and the eternal wisdom of God. And when we walk with Him and when we listen to His Word and we hide it in our hearts and we meditate upon it and we read it, we are walking, loving, being held by eternal understanding, clothed in our nature, near to us, so that we can feel, love, be embraced. One day we will be even physically by this. Have you thought, I am going to be embraced one day by the eternal wisdom of God? What a glorious privilege. No wonder we need to listen. I mean, turn from the strange woman. She's hollow. And wherever form she comes in. And He says, I have strength there at the end of verse 14. It's not just I've got some words for you. I mean, we can sit here and listen to sermons all day. You could have listened to 40 sermons today, and you know what's coming Monday. Okay, Monday's coming. But this wisdom, when you walk with Him, He's clothed with omnipotence. He doesn't just give words. He has power. So that if you cling to Him and hold on to Him and think His thoughts after Him, He guards your ways. He holds you tightly. He gives you strength to believe and to obey. Pick one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, since Proverbs is a book to young people. Now, remember who said that, children? It wasn't me. It wasn't your parents. Oh, here's a neat command for me. I've got children. By the way, children, obey your parents. This was eternal wisdom that says this to you, who sees your future. If you're 5, if you're 15, if you're 25, He sees your future. And He says, listen, I'm telling you, I know this. Listen to your parents. I'm telling you. If you do this, I am going to bless you. I am going to go before you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to show you my covenant. I'm going to show you all the riches of my grace. So just, and you feel something, you know, oh, I want to disobey here. But remember, I have strength. So call upon the name of the Lord. When you know His Word and you know what He wants you to do and you feel, I just can't, I'm too weak, I feel my wretchedness, like Paul said in Romans 7, remember, ours is not a religion to give you a bunch of precepts, platitudes, and principles. We worship a person, the triune God, who has made known Himself to us, has made Himself known to us familiarly through His Son. Now this wisdom is very practical. Verses 15 and 16. He says, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. So much for wisdom just being for my little private religion. You know what we have forgotten? Every country, nation, province, however small, wherever it is scattered on the face of the planet, is part of the universal dominion of the exalted Jesus of Nazareth. Everything is His. And He's going to hold His leaders accountable. And He offers Himself to them and He says, listen, here I am. Do you want to make wise decisions? Do you want to make decisions for your country that won't bring unnecessary war and collapse your economy and bring misery to your citizens? You're going to have to rule by me. We need to remember what's going on today. What's going on today has nothing to do with whether there's a D or an R by the name on the ballot. What it has to do with is whether there is a cross and a crown in the heart of the man who rules. He's the prince of the kings of the earth, and He's not going to prosper this country or any country where princes and kings and judges and nobles say, hey, no, we can do this. We don't need God. We don't have to listen to His wisdom. We don't have to kiss the sun. We've got science. We've got technology. We've got military might. We've got the whole ethos of the United States of America behind us. We can do it. No, you can't. Because wisdom died on the cross for our sins. Wisdom was raised the third day. Wisdom is exalted now higher than the heavens, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And He says, do you want to prosper? Do you want to have justice? You better kiss me. Because there is no other way. Which means that your responsibility, not just in November, but every day, your most fundamental civic responsibility is not voting. Your most fundamental civic responsibility is speaking of another king, one Jesus. That's your most fundamental duty because listen, unless men are brought to kiss the Son, what's going to happen? They're not going to kiss Him. Unless they hear the gospel, they're not going to repent and believe. And if they don't repent and believe, they're certainly not going to have laws and societies built upon a principle of submission to the Lord's Christ. And therefore, we get this. So we can complain, we can do all these things, but are you, am I, are we sharing? Listen, there's another king. He'll have mercy upon you. Wisdom's very practical. And notice He says in verse 17, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. And that's I think here Solomon, this is right in the middle of the chapter. And I think Solomon, okay, I hadn't forgotten you, son. Now, we might say here that the early is just first thing in the morning. And by the way, let me encourage you. You need to make sure you renew your nuptials every morning with this woman. You need to kiss her every morning. Okay. You need to renew your love and your vows every morning with her. How do you do this? In the Word, in prayer, calling on the Lord Jesus with the rising of the sun. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hope in your Word. But I think Solomon's got something else in mind here. And that is, the Lord loves the first bud and the first strength of life to be devoted to Him. And young people, let me encourage you, you can never remember your Creator too early. You can never kiss Him too early. If you run to Him as a young person, Samuel, Daniel, David, and others we read of in Scripture, Mary, the mother of our Lord, if you run to Him early in life, you're protected from so much of the folly and the mistakes that, well, your parents, we're still suffering from. And you're almost immunized at some level against the corruptions and the strange woman because there's another woman at whose breast you're nursing from your earliest days. And this is Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And He promises you here, young people, if you seek Me early, you will find Me. You will find Me. Again, I ask you, my dear, dear, dear young friends, are you holding on to God's Word? Are you memorizing it, meditating upon it, loving it? You do know what you're doing when you love God's Word when you're early, when you're young, don't you? You are kissing Jesus on the lips. And you're saying, Lord, help me to love You and to cling to You all my days. So do we want wisdom? You know, wisdom, interestingly, this little interlude in verses 18 through 21, it's not just these, oh yeah, well, I'll have heaven one day. That's true. But notice He says here, you'll have riches and honor. These are with Me too, durable riches. Treasures that don't corrupt over time with moth and with rust. He says, My fruit is better than gold. Okay, and My revenue than choice silver. I lead you in the way of righteousness. Do we want this? I want to be led in the way of righteousness. This is a corrupt age. I want to walk in the midst of the paths of judgment. I want to make right decisions about my life. I want to inherit substance. Verse 21, I want to fill all my treasures. Where do even earthly blessings come from? The Lord Jesus. But here's the interesting thing about these. When the earthly treasures are seen in their connection to Him, all the gifts that we receive from Him, they make us love the giver more. And we remember, these all came to me. Whether it be, you know, my car's running well right now, or I've got enough money to pay my mortgage, or my children are healthy, whatever the earthly blessing is, these things have come to me not as a curse. Because remember, God fattens up the wicked and gives them all kind of blessings in this life, and it doesn't do them any good. It only is going to make hell hotter. But for us, these blessings wed us more to God. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross. And all these blessings flow to us through Him. Now, how can wisdom give us all these things? Come on, preacher. Well, I think the centerpiece of the entire chapter is in verses 22 through 31. And it makes one basic point. Here's the question. How can wisdom give us all these things? Because wisdom is God. Because wisdom is the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not going to get into all the possible interpretations of these verses. Just remember John 1 as we go through these verses. This is the historical interpretation. That what Solomon is describing here is wisdom as the Lord Jesus, the Creator with God, the voice through which the Lord spoke the world into existence. Notice He says in verse 22, about this wisdom, the Lord possessed me. This is language that indicates was one with. Okay, there was a harmony of existence and a harmony of purpose in the beginning. This is the same absolute phrase as in Genesis 1:1, in beginning. Not I had a beginning, but just in beginning I was with God. When there was nothing else, and boom, God called the world into existence, I was there. Notice, I was set up from everlasting before there was anything, before there were any depths of seas, verse 24, when there were no fountains abounding with water, the depths of the depths, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, when He had not made the earth or the fields, verse 26, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the deep, when He established the firmament, when He strengthened the waters under the earth, when He gave to the sea the decree, verse 29, that the waters should not pass over, I was there. Now before we get to 30 and 31, understand what Solomon is saying here. Before there was anything else, there was Me. And there's only one eternal thing in this universe, and that's God. And what was this wisdom doing who was there with God and through whom He made the worlds? He says, I was by Him. Very much reminiscent of language of John 1, as one brought up with Him. I was daily His delight. rejoicing always before Him. Here we have a picture of the joy between the Father and the Son, between God and wisdom, if you want to follow the language of the chapter. And notice I was even involved in what was going on earth. I was rejoicing where men lived. I was teaching the sons of men wisdom. So how do we know wisdom is going to give us this? Because all these blessings, because every one of us has a choice to make. You're either going to have to follow the Word of man or you're going to have to follow the Word of God. And why do you trust the Word of God? Because this is eternal wisdom. This is like Psalm 119. I have known of old concerning your precepts that you have founded them forever. This is wisdom. This is our life. It's found in the Lord Jesus. And so the chapter ends with an appeal to us. A very strong appeal. Again, wisdom cries out in verse 32. Now remember, everything's been said. 1 through 5, I cry everywhere. 6 through 11, all my words are excellent, pure. They give you peace. They give you righteousness. Look at all the blessings, verses 12 through 21, that come to you if you listen to my word. And remember why I can give these things to you? Because I'm eternal. I know everything. I have all counsel, all understanding. Trust me, I'm offering myself to you. And so he makes this appeal. Listen to me. Oh, children, blessed are those who keep my ways. Who, everybody in here would raise their hand if I said, raise your hand if you want to be happy. Okay? And our Lord Jesus, this eternal wisdom, says, hear me. Unplug your ears. Okay? Pluck out your eyes if they're causing you to sin. Cut off your hand. Listen to me. Do my will, for I'll make you happy. He says, hear instruction and be wise and don't refuse it. Don't harden your hearts. Now, here's the problem. We all want to harden our hearts at times. Why? Because we have this nasty little thing. I like what Bill Gothard used to say about sin. He said, sin is that nasty little voice inside of us that says, I want to reserve to myself the right to make the final decision. It's Satan's great temptation in the garden. God said something. I'm saying something. You make the call, Eve. You make the call, Adam. Jesus said, don't make the call except to listen to my words and follow my wisdom in everything. He says, blessed, verse 34, is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Now, here's something for us. Where can we hear this wisdom? You better watch for the King of Glory to come into His temple each Lord's Day. Because He says, you better watch where I am. You better go where I am. And where is He? He's in the midst of the congregation. You have to understand, when we read the Scriptures and the preaching of God's Word, this is the eternal wisdom throwing Himself at us and saying, come, my arms are open. Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, and the King of Glory will come in. Do you want Him to come? Are you ready? Do you listen to God's Word? Do you watch for His first approach? Oh, there He comes. He's going to be the preacher. He is going to lead our singing. This is the wisdom of God, Christ, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. Oh, be where He is. You know, of the many lessons my dad taught me, here was one that was so important. And I praise God for each one of you. And I don't share this in any kind of making anybody feel guilty, but it was, I hate to say it, because it perhaps will sound like our Baptist brothers. When the church is open and there's somebody who's got an open Bible, you be there. You be there. Okay, and it's not a matter of checking off the roll book. It's not hypocrisy. It's not. No. God's there. He's going to teach me. This is wisdom. And I may not appreciate it every time. I may not get as much out of the preacher every time because the preacher's weak and Jesus uses weak instruments to accomplish His will. But it's not about the preacher. It's about Christ teaching me. It's His temple. It's His spiritual house. He died and rose again. Do you remember Psalm 22? When He's on the cross, when He's thinking about His sufferings, one of the hopes that animated Him was, I'm going to declare the name of my Father in the midst of my congregation. This is what wisdom was hoping for when it was dying for us and dying for our plugged ears and dying for our hard hearts. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to pay for their sins. I'm going to rise again and I'm going to get to teach them again. And they're going to have a new heart and they're going to listen to me. Oh, if the church today would just listen and hold on to the Word of God and cling to it and meditate upon it, the Lord would quickly come and deal with our enemies. Now the last two verses remind us of what a critical choice this is. He says in verse 35, "For whoever obtains, finds me, finds life, and obtains favor of the Lord." In an ultimate and eternal sense, the living God only loves one person. Now, I have to be careful here because I don't want to commit any theological error. But in terms of us, remember what he said about his son? Twice. Baptism, transfiguration. The heavens were open. And he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Do you want God to smile at you? How would you like, employee, worker, to know that wherever you go in your work life, God's blessing is going to rest upon your head? How would you like to know, wife, that in all of your struggles with your husband and with your children, God is always going to look after me and He's going to bless me? How would you like to know that if I have to move and I get carried to another part of the world, or if somebody gets sick that's close to me and there's a death, it's okay. God is going to be near me. Then you better make sure that you are in Christ, because if you're in Him, and you choose wisdom, the Father is always smiling at you. All the gray clouds, they're not really gray. They're only gray to us. It's like Calvin used to say, nothing bad ever really happens to a Christian. I don't think we believe that. If I got cancer, that would be bad. It all depends on your perspective. It all depends. Does anything bad ever... What about Job? Did bad things happen to Job? Bad things did, but they weren't really bad, because Job learned about God. He learned about wisdom. He learned about submission. So even the things that are just horrible that we hear about, what about Hannah Overton? Those of you who are keeping up with her, horrible, wrongly accused of manslaughter against an adopted child in prison for 4 years. Oh, man, I'd just be in there chafing my head off. I'm getting all these lawyers. I'm going to make sure this charge is reversed. She's been in there. Yeah, she wants to get free because she's been unjustly condemned and looks like she will be soon. But what's she been doing? Leading Bible studies. Dozens and dozens of people come to know the Lord because of her witness in prison, you see. When you walk with wisdom, God smiles at you, so that even the worst things and the adversities become opportunities to see His power in your weakness. And this has a very significant choice then. Notice verse 36. "He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death." You've got a woman here. She's not the strange woman. We know what she's offering to us. The strange woman says, "Hey, come over to my house. Have some secret pleasures. Nobody will find you. Everything will be okay. Just do what you want to do. Come, let's take our fill of love and we'll have a good time and nobody will be the wiser." Wisdom, this woman, is inviting you. This is like the parable of the wedding feast. That's how significant this is. Remember, Jesus told this parable in a couple places in the Gospels, and He says, "Listen, I'm inviting you to come and sit down with me." That's what He's doing here. That's why I feel so guilty about all the sins of my life, particularly the ones in the past when I knew better. Wisdom was inviting me. Jesus was inviting me. Walk wisely. Walk in submission to me. Love me. Be blessed in me. And remember the parable of the wedding? Several people... says the after that king gave the invitation to come to the wedding feast, many says, "No, I don't want to come." That's like a lot today. They just either outright deny Christ or they'll half-heartedly choose Him. What did the king do to those who refused the invitation? He sent his soldiers out and they slaughtered them. I mean, hearing God's word and having Jesus offer Himself to you, it's not like, "Hey, that was a good sermon. Hey, let's go home and feel good about myself today. I fulfill my religious obligations. I really made a sacrifice. I went to church twice today." No. No. Jesus is inviting you. He says, "Come sit down with me." So what are we supposed to do? Jump into His arms. Kiss Him on the lips again. Say, "Lord, You teach me. Like Isaiah, take away my impurity. Bring coal down from off Your heavenly altar, Your heavenly word, and purify my lips. Help me to listen to You. Help me to hold Your word close to me," because that's what You're doing. When you're holding God's Word close to you and in your heart, it's not just, well, I've got my principles, I've got my Bible, I believe in my doctrines. No, 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 it's not that. This is not an encyclopedia. It's not a seminary education. This is the Word of Christ. This is the Word of the husband saying, listen, do you love me? Hold my Word close to you because you're holding me close to you. This is my will. This is who I am. I've given you my book, but if you hate me, you love death. Particularly when I've offered myself to you. That's what makes the situation to the American churches so desperately dangerous today. Think of all the people who have preached on these shores. Spurgeon has preached 25 miles away from here in downtown Atlanta several times. Southern Presbyterian preachers galore. Jonathan Edwards preached on these shores. All these guys, the Lord has sent preacher after preacher after preacher inviting us to sit down with wisdom. And what do we like today? The talking head on television, the glamorous, the Showtime. And we push our woman far, far away. And we can't resist the strange woman much anymore, not even in the church, because we haven't taken wisdom into our bosom and jumped into her arms and kissed her. Kiss her. Because guess what? If you seek God's Word, guess what's waiting for you in heaven? Yes, streets of gold and all those neat things. It's hard to know exactly what they mean. But wisdom is going to kiss you forever. Jesus, the lover of your soul, if you heed wisdom and love Him and cling to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that You would help us to heed wisdom, to turn from our folly and all the strange women that offer themselves to us today of whatever form. We ask that You would give us ears to hear excellent things that You have for us in Your Scriptures. Thank You for Solomon. And for what You taught him, we know that there are things here that he probably did not fully comprehend because this wisdom had not yet come incarnate. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming and now showing us that all these blessings, this life, the life to come, life, death, everything belongs to You. And if we belong to You, we possess everything. We thank You for Your kindness to us, and we pray that in the midst of so many voices today, so many distractions, so many important responsibilities, sickness, weakness, we hear of people struggling. Please help us to hold on to Your eternal wisdom. Lord Jesus, we praise You for Your loveliness. Please teach us more of it. We ask these things in Your name. Amen.